All right, welcome back to the show. You're listening to The Pitch on ESPN 105.1 The Zone, and it's a special week because we are honored as we head into the college football hour to be joined by college football coaching legend, certainly a legend in the state of Nebraska, and an old friend of our family when I was growing up, Coach Tom Osborne. Thanks for joining the show.
Well, thank you, Weston. It's good to talk to you, and of course, I knew your dad quite well, and we're good friends, and so it's nice to talk to you.
Obviously, you served in Congress for 6 years, from 2001 to 2007, but you're better known as a college football coach. That's how most people in Tennessee remember you, is for a lot of great winning seasons and three that ended in a national championship. Both of the realms, if you will, that you operated within, politics and sports for the vast majority of your career, have undergone some big changes, let's say, since you left. First, quickly, let's talk politics, because I remember growing up around you and a whole bunch of decent men serving in the Congress at a time when Republicans and Democrats could be friends, and it's changed a lot. What are your thoughts in retirement about the Congress?
Well, Weston, you know, it's always hard to have a good idea what's going on from a distance, and so I haven't been in Congress now for quite some period of time. It's been about 10 years. And there was always some partisanship. But I do feel, you know, particularly I used to go to the congressional prayer breakfast every, I think we at one time had it on Tuesday and we changed it to Wednesday. And that was a good thing. And I think that there was a lot of collegiality at that point. Some of my best friends, Charlie Stanholm was a Democrat and I was a Republican, and we always had a speaker there that was a member of Congress. And I remember one of the Kennedys, Patrick Kennedy, who probably philosophically and politically was about as far removed as a guy from Nebraska who was fairly conservative could be. I remember him talking, and I kind of got a renewed appreciation for Patrick, what he'd gone through in his life, and what kind of person he was, and we became good friends because of that, even though politically we were quite different. And so I think there was probably a greater sense of collegiality at that point, and a lot of it had to do with matters of faith, you know, Bible studies and those kind of things that were fairly prevalent, and hopefully those things are still in existence today, but it does seem like it's more divisive than it had been at that time.
Well, as my wife and I raised two little kids and obviously raised them up in a family that still very much cares about politics in our country and good government, one of our concerns is just that the tone of American politics and the impact that the current president has had on the tone and tenor of politics is becoming generationally sort of negative. But then at the same time, tax reform, I think, represents an area where this president can deliver for regular folks. What do you hear from friends, and what are your thoughts as a senior statesman in the state of Nebraska about the president almost a year into his service?
Well, I think there are some things that he's addressed that have been very important. I think a lot of the international events, the threat from the Middle East and also North Korea is very disturbing. And these are real and present threats that aren't just philosophical. They're very real. And so I think he's certainly been a guy who's put a tremendous amount of energy into the job. He's worked very hard, and I admire that. Sometimes it would be nice if terms were couched a little bit more carefully, and I know why he uses Twitter, because he feels that way he can converse directly to a certain percentage of the American people that are tuned into that type of thing, and yet sometimes when you're trying to send out tweets, it doesn't always come off as being terribly diplomatic. So I guess it served a purpose for him in getting elected, and I think he's continued to operate in that way. And certainly the tax cuts are, I think, as I see it, something that would be very beneficial to the country. If we can just lower the corporate tax rate to where we're competitive internationally, we'll do a tremendous amount for the whole country. And I think a lot of people who are middle income and people who are not especially attuned to large businesses or even small businesses need to understand that if you can't create jobs and can't raise wages, it impacts everybody. And so a non-competitive corporate tax rate has certainly done that. And I hope we can get that straightened out. Need to do something about health care because it is right now somewhat fractured. And so I hope that people can work together. And it would be great if you could see both parties begin to take a larger view of what's best for the country. And there will always be philosophical differences. But I do know that there's an awful lot of things that are being done for political effect and not necessarily for what's best for the country, and that has been disturbing.
Boy, that's the truth. Talking to College Football Hall of Famer Tom Osborne, let's turn to football and have a little bit of fun, because certainly college football, as a lot of people argue, is about as popular, the product is about as good as it's ever been. On this station a couple days ago, I heard Tommy Tuberville, the ESPN analyst and former Auburn head coach, make an argument I thought was interesting, and I thought because you were one of the titans of the Big Eight in its heyday, you'd have an interesting thought here. He was claiming as the big programs like the University of Tennessee, where I graduated, conduct coaching searches right now, that it is too easy to overlook, and fan bases often overlook, a coach's background within the conference, and that the conferences have such character that it is dangerous to pull from without of the conference, or at least you introduce risk to that hiring decision that you might not if you're hiring somebody who's got experience in it. Did you see some of that in your time? And then as you look across the college football landscape at so many major jobs that could be coming open, is there something to that? Are we coming back to where conference football, now that we've really got five big ones, conference football might be as relevant as ever?
Well, I think to some degree, I think, Weston, that it's not so important that a person have experience in a conference as that a person understands the particular state, the particular region that he's coaching in. Because people think, well, one football coaching job or basketball job is just like another, but I don't think that's true. For instance, if you're coaching at Washington State University in Eastern Washington, pretty rural area, pretty sparse population, and a lot of agriculture, that job is going to be different than coaching at USC or UCLA in the middle of Los Angeles. And a large population base, tremendously diverse population. And so the pressures, the stresses, and the recruiting practices are going to be different. And so oftentimes you bring somebody in from some other place, and you may have a great resume and may do well in an interview. But if that person doesn't understand what you need to do at that particular place in recruiting and reaching out to people and public relations and all of the things that go with being a football
coach. It's so interesting that you put it that way, because we've experienced basically that very thing over 5 years here with Butch Jones at the University of Tennessee. I think Butch is a capable coach by some standards. I don't think he knew what he was getting himself into, because the head football coach at Tennessee is as much a political figure as it is a football coach. And I'm not sure that he was aware of what it's like in some of these states where the flagship university really does kind of rule the day and rule the conversations, certainly in the cooler weather months of the year. Speaking of your time at Nebraska and these coaching searches, one of your former quarterbacks, Scott Frost, has become one of the most desired coaches by a lot of the big schools across the country. Talk a little bit about Scott, but also who you look at among the next generation of young coaches as a great football mind.
Well, I know Scott well because he played for me, and we've been in contact steadily over the last 20 years. And Scott has certainly done a remarkable turnaround at Central Florida. He certainly is very instrumental in whatever success the University of Oregon had in playing for two national championships as an offensive coordinator. And the thing that's interesting about Scott is that he has he's been a defensive coordinator, I think, at Northern Iowa. He was an offensive coordinator at Oregon. He played offense, quarterback at Nebraska. But he also played defense and secondary in the NFL under people like Bill Belichick and others, and played for Bill Walsh at Stanford. And so he's had an interesting background and is very well prepared, I think, to be a head coach. And he's going to say the right thing, do the right thing, not going to fly off the handle. So he has probably about as close to the whole package as you could want. He's relatively young, 42 years old, and coaching takes a lot of energy. So he's got a lot of good years ahead of him. So he's certainly a very good coaching product at this point. As far as other people, I don't know. The coach at Iowa State has done well. Coach at Memphis has certainly done well. Good young coach. And there's a lot of coaches out there. But again, you know, sometimes people do really well in one setting, and then you move them to another, and it doesn't go as well. Right. So it's hard to predict.
Hey, if I could give you a window into the psyche of the Tennessee football loyal right now, there is great hope and now some speculation based on fact and then some based on rumor that John Gruden, the Monday Night Football host, is in fact seriously considering taking the head football coach job at Tennessee. You spent your career in college football and obviously had a run at Nebraska that is almost unrivaled in college football history. What are your thoughts first about a guy who's been out of coaching for 10 years coming back, but then a guy who's also been out of college coaching for 25 years? I mean, how difficult mm-hmm. would that transition be to make if Gruden, in fact, wants to come coach in college?
Well, I would think it would depend on the individual. You know, some I've seen coaches who have been in professional football for a long time, and they're used to working with 53 players. And so they're going to want a small squad. And they're not going to pay much attention to walk-on type players, but they got to realize they don't have a waiver wire. So if you get a couple guys hurt at one position, you can't get on the phone like you can in the NFL and call somebody up and have them come in and try to get them ready to play in a week or two. And so as a result, some coaches are able to be flexible and transfer what they know from the NFL to college. I think, for instance, an NFL system, which is largely predicated on a quarterback who's a drop-back passer, may not have great mobility, oftentimes doesn't work quite as well in college, because if you look at most of the best college programs, there is at least some running capacity for a quarterback. There's a little bit of zone read or something, where that guy can do some things with his feet as well as with his arm. And I think just listening to him on the television, I think John Gruden is a guy who's smart enough to know that the NFL isn't college football. But I think he can transfer some things from what he's learned over the years and be very useful. But there's some guys who make that transition and some guys who don't.
Right.
And so it's tricky to figure out who that is.
Last question. I've held you longer than I wanted to, but so grateful for your time, Coach Osborne. You obviously had a lot of success in the traditional bowl system. Have you enjoyed watching the playoff, and do you suspect in the next 5 years we may end up with an 8-team playoff?
Well, I was on the playoff committee, selection committee, for the first 2 years, and I think it's an improvement because – I used to vote on the coaches poll, and I would play a game on Saturday, and I'd grade the film that night, and then about midnight I'd get on the computer and look at who'd won and who'd lost. I kind of rearranged the deck chairs, and that would be my ballot, because I had to have it in by 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. And I think that's the way most coaches and most writers on the AP poll voted. So there wasn't a lot of in-depth analysis. On the College Football Playoff Selection Committee, we went to Dallas 7 straight weeks, and we were there 2 days, same room, looked at film, looked at all kinds of data, looked at strength of schedule exhaustively, looked at field position, scoring offense, relative scoring offense, defense, all those kind of things. And so it's a much more thorough process. I think you're much more apt to make sure that you get the top two teams in the country playing each other. As far as your question about an 8-team playoff, I think people are going to keep beating that drum. But right now, if you play in that championship game, you've played 15 games. An NFL season is 16 games. And an NFL player, all he does is prepare for football and play football. These other guys got to go to class. They got to pass a certain number of classes. They got to be on track to graduate. They've got to do all those things. There is an attrition factor in the playoff system. So I don't know I don't know if I'd be in favor of adding more games. I think we can get the top two teams in those four. And I think that's what the college presidents are committed to right now. So I doubt if we're going to see an expansion right now.
Well, and it goes back to the old principle, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I don't know a college football fan who hasn't enjoyed the move to the 14 playoff. And I don't think there's any question that it's yielded us the best team in the country since you guys first were doing it there a few years ago.
Mm-hmm. I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
Well, Coach, I am so grateful for your time. Tom Osborne, certainly one of the people in our family, just to say this on behalf of the Wamp family, one of the people we respected the most during my dad's service in the Congress, and grateful you'd take time to join us on ESPN Radio in Chattanooga.
Well, thank you, Weston, and say hello to your dad.
You got it. Thank you, Coach.
You bet.
3-time national champion Coach Tom Osborne, a no-doubt college football Hall of Famer. Awesome guy to have on the show. We'll be right back. You're listening to Pitch on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.